beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is God's word. As we continue to look at the fruit of the Spirit together this morning, we are looking at the third item in Paul's list, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now, perhaps you've noticed, if you've watched the news, that there seems to be a lot of talk about peace, the need for peace, the importance of peace. There is a pursuing of peace that goes on in society and in world politics. We have the United Nations, which has as one of its goals the creation and maintenance of peace between nations. As we can see, they have not been very good with their charter. We have international treaties designed to encourage peace between nations. And in general, what we see then is that there's a sense that amongst the nations that peace is needed. We need peace. There's a desire for peace. But as we've seen, the nations aren't very good at keeping peace with one another. Treaties are broken left and right. There's always war going on somewhere throughout history. Now, in society and culture, people are also looking for personal peace. Francis Schaeffer called this personal peace and affluence. He said this is this great value that everybody has. They want to have a good job, have a nice house, have a nice place to live, be left alone, and be free to do what they want. Just leave me alone so I can enjoy my life and not have any trouble. That's the sort of peace that a lot of people are seeking. But outside of Christ, all of these other pursuits of peace, internationally and personally, all of these things eventually elude those who seek them. Eventually these pieces break down. They don't last. They're not quite the peace that they really need. The peace that they need is only found through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, achieving peace between God and man. The most serious conflict that everybody has outside of Christ is this enmity they have with the one true and living God. And therefore, the only peace that is true and lasting is the peace that Christ brings. And since we ourselves have looked to Christ in faith, we have also enjoyed this peace with God. As Christians, we live under the reign of the Prince of Peace. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ is described. He is our King, and the kingdom of God itself is described as a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what sort of peace do we enjoy as a result of the work of Christ? There are three kinds in particular. Peace with God is the first one. Peace with others is the second, and then thirdly, peace within ourselves. I'll describe each of these. The first one, peace with God. Romans chapter 5 tells us that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous, we are justified, and we have this lasting, perfect peace that can never be taken away from us. Peace with God. This is the peace that we need the most. Before personal peace, before peace with others, we need peace with God. And this is a massive shift in relationship. We go from being hellbound sinners to being sons and daughters of the King and children of God. This is the greatest peace of all that we receive. The second one is peace with others. Peace with others. After we have been reconciled to God, God puts us into this ministry of reconciliation. Part of being a Christian is being a peacemaker. This is how our Lord Jesus described his people in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." If we have been forgiven, we must forgive others. If we have received this peace with God, then we must make peace with others. Hebrews 12 tells us our obligation. It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So as we pursue holiness, we also pursue peace with others. The two go together. Thirdly, peace within. We have a peace that we receive within ourselves. Jesus says in John 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So how is it that we can have peace? That is a sense of a calmness, a lack of anxiety. How can we have this peace? The reason we can have this peace is because Jesus has overcome the world. Yes, we'll have tribulations in the world. That's what Jesus tells us. He says, yes, it's going to be hard. You'll get persecuted. You're going to have tribulations. It's going to hurt. He doesn't gloss over the difficulties. He tells us we will suffer. But he says, be of good cheer. Take heart, Christian. I have overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome these things. We're just waiting for him to come back and get us. So when we face uncertainties in our life, we should ask ourselves the question, do I believe that Jesus has overcome the world? Has he died and risen again so that I can overcome these difficulties as well? A knowledge of Christ's power and sovereignty gives us much peace in difficult situations. During the Civil War, or the war between the states, you may recall Stonewall Jackson, his title that he was given. He was called Stonewall because he was so immovable in battle. He was not afraid. He would simply stand there, cannonballs flying next to him, gunshots going on. And he was not afraid. At least it didn't appear that way. Why was this? Why did he have this peace in the context of great danger? He once said that my religious belief teaches me that I am as safe in battle as I am in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself about that. But to always be ready, no matter when it may overtake me, that is the way of all men should live, and then all men would be equally brave. Are we really as safe in our bed as we are on the battlefield or in other places that are difficult? If God is in control, the answer is yes. Humanly speaking, yeah, you might say there's a risk factor here that's increased. But God is still in control. And because of the sovereignty of God, the power of Christ over all things, we can have peace because Christ is on the throne. And what I find so encouraging about Isaiah 9, where Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace, is it says that of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Friends, that means that there is more peace coming. God is working to create peace within us. He is working to create peace between us. He is establishing his church, and there is going to be no stop to this increase of peace that we receive. So in application to this fruit of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, let us pursue peace with one another. And let us look to God, who controls all things and therefore cares for us, even when we feel this lack of peace. Let's pray. O God in heaven, we do thank you that we have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we could not achieve on our own, but you have done it for us, and we receive it by faith. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us for when we have not pursued peace with one another. We have not valued the gospel of peace as we should, because we have not cared about the conflicts that exist, and we have walked away from them rather than pursuing peace. We ask that you would help us to pursue this peace with others. And Father, as we feel anxiety in our hearts, as we feel afraid, we ask that you would help us to believe in your words, that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and therefore we may have peace in all situations. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.